from the Investors Bank Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. Some local basketball last night where you had some of the same stuff happening. The Knicks losing, the Nets playing well. The Knicks continue to lose, having the worst season in franchise history and losing to a team that is going to help you finish in that bottom three. Not a ton happening with spring training and the Mets and Yankees. And more people out there that are swiping at Kyler Murray. Sometimes when a guy like this, people pile up on top of him, I end up, my instinct is to start defending him. So now I'm going to start defending Kyler Murray. So Charlie Casserly, you can go screw. Whoever this anonymous scout was out there saying that he fabricated his height at the combine, you can go screw too. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I still say, regardless of what is said about Kyler Murray, that he will be the number one pick to the Cardinals now. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think most draft Knicks feel that way. Guys who cover the draft, there is a consensus belief out there that he's definitely going to be the guy for the Cardinals. So that also now opens the door for a team like the Giants or the Jaguars or the Dolphins or the Redskins to trade for a guy who was the 10th overall pick in the draft last year, Josh Rosen, who really didn't have a chance this year. He didn't have a chance. He didn't have the personality, plus he was with a coaching staff that was in way over its head and, unfortunately had an adverse effect on him. I'd love to see him with Jay Gruden down in Washington. I can tell you that right now. Unless, of course, Washington feels that they want to use their first-round pick on, say, I don't know, Daniel Jones out of Duke, who seems to be rising on a lot of people's draft boards. So there's still a lot of moving parts. Free agency's getting ready to start. Another safety hits the street. Darian Stewart of the Denver Broncos now is a part of that. This whole safety group that has just been moved out of the way pretty much from their original teams. There's like an entire team of safeties that are available. So if you are a safety out there and you have gotten cut, you need to go start looking for a job immediately to try to get one of those chairs that's going to be filled once free agency starts. And guys like Landon Collins then are able to go out there on the market, because if you're cut, you can sign now. Okay. So that's basic, or you could re up with your team. Now, those are the two ways for players to get their contracts. If your contract is expired and you're not cut and you're just coming to the end of that contract, then you have to wait for the free agency period to start.
So the NFL free agency period is always confusing because you've got when it actually starts and when clubs are allowed to talk to guys. There's like a tampering period that is allowed that starts on March 11th.
But let's say Darian Stewart, for instance. I don't know how many years he had left in his contract. Maybe 1 year left in his contract, I think. So he had 2019 this year. The Denver Broncos cut him now. So that makes him an immediate free agent. He could start taking visits. It's like what happened with Spencer Long, the center for the Jets.
Yeah.
They cut him. Immediately he started taking visits, and he signed with the Buffalo Bills. So, Landon Collins is not one of those players. Landon Collins basically is now coming to the end of his contract, and he has to wait to that date comes that you were just talking about.
Right, which is March 13th, but it's March 11th, really. So it's really Monday, but it's really the 13th, 2 days later.
Right.
Meaning that we will find out news about players going to other teams on Monday, on the 11th.
Pretty much, you'll get general managers and agents kind of saying, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing. And I'm sure that there are teams that are, already lined up as to, who wants Trey Flowers, who wants Trent Brown. Who's going to want Landon Collins? Who's going to want Darian Stewart? Who's going to want Eric Weddle? And, they'll be out there. There'll be people out there looking for bargains, but then there'll be those guys. Like, remember when a couple of years back, the Patriots went after Stephon Gilmore,
mm-hmm.
and they gave him that huge contract.
Yeah, it was shocking.
Everybody's like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, they gave him that huge contract. Well, Stephon Gilmore paid off in dividends because he was a first-team All-Pro this year. for the Patriots defense. And he obviously was targeted by Bill Belichick immediately as free agency started. So there'll be those guys out there too, whoever they are. Maybe it is Landon Collins. Maybe it is Eric Weddle, Darian Stewart, any of these guys, LaMarcus Joyner. There'll be coaches that have been sprinkled around in other places that are going to go to their general manager and say, I know that guy. I want that guy. Like I was thinking, that could be Tyrann Mathieu for James Betcher, you know, here in the Giants. So Tyrann Mathieu played for him in Arizona, played well for him in Arizona. He ended up signing that deal for the Houston Texans, and now he's going to be a free agent. That could be a familiar face for a coach who goes to Dave Gettleman and says, look, I think we could probably get this guy. He knows my system, knows my offense, and I think he's talented enough to be the guy that we're looking for.
What about Le'Veon Bell? Can he sign at any point right now? Because he did not get tagged again, but he's not under contract
anymore. Yeah, his contract basically is over.
Right.
He sat out, and he's kind of in the same class as Landon Collins. So last year, he should have played.
But he's not under contract at all.
That's right, but he never signed his tender. The tender was still sitting there.
Right.
So he is in that free agency class like Landon Collins. So he has to wait for these the dates you just gave. But I, you know, my thing about Kyler Murray is that, okay, again, you know, we sit here and we've been sitting here now for years talking about this. There's a lot of things that you can look at a player, and I understand why Charlie Casserly did what he did. Charlie Casserly is a former general manager who is ruthless. You know what I mean? That's just the way he was. So that's how he talks. He talks in like those tones that people don't like, and it sounds like he's trying to really go after the kid and all that other stuff. You can say whatever you want about it. I'm just telling you, he is putting information out there that he got from his contacts. And some people probably didn't like Kyler Murray, or they're using him as a mouthpiece to try to talk the Cardinals out of Kyler Murray.
Sure.
They get him.
Could be that too.
You never know how this stuff works. But Charlie's a good dude. I worked with him for years at CBS. He has very good information. It's the way I think sometimes he delivers that information. It even got under the skin of Bill Belichick when I worked with Charlie at CBS, because there was a post-game press conference where they asked Belichick about something Charlie said, and he just shook his head. And then later on in the press conference, he said, why don't you just go ask Charlie? He seems to know everything.
Oh, wow.
Right?
I like that.
So he gets under people's skin, and I get that. But you know what? He's just being honest. He was given information probably by multiple sources and contacts within the context of the NFL, and he disseminated that information publicly. And if you are an agent for Kyler Murray, if you are the college coach for Kyler Murray, if you are Cliff Kingsbury about Kyler Murray, you're going to come to Kyler Murray's defense.
Sure, and that's exactly what Lincoln Riley did. He said, you never spoke to Kyler Murray, you never spoke to me, you never spoke to his teammates.
And by the way, Charlie Casserly never said that he did.
Right.
Casserly said he spoke to people who had Kyler Murray in a meeting, up on the board, concepts, NFL, learning the league, and he failed in that regard. But that, you know, a lot of guys fail in that regard. It takes a while for a player to come in and figure it out. Some guys get it quicker than others, but maybe the air raid offense that they're supposedly running in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury is going to be the perfect situation for him.
Isn't Charlie Casserly the mastermind of putting McCagnan and Bowles together too?
That's true. He was part of that. He and Ron Wolf, yes.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know what? Somebody's pulling the strings for the Giants, and I don't know what's going on. I was thinking about this yesterday. So the Jets traded the 6th pick to the Colts and 3 second-round picks.
To move up
to the number 3 spot.
That's right.
It's basically the Giants are where the Jets were last year. The Jets are where the Colts were last year at this time. And that's when that trade was consummated. So if the Jets and the Giants do want to make a trade, or the Giants want to try to make a trade with the Jets, do they have the draft capital to get up to the 3 spot in order to make sure that they get Haskins if that's who they want?
They don't want him.
Because the point being is I could see the Jaguars leapfrogging everybody because they do have the draft capital,
I believe.
They're
getting Foles, though.
Maybe.
That's what everybody says, though. How can we not trust everybody? Everybody's saying Foles to the Jaguars.
So if Nick Foles signs a 2-year, $40 million deal,
yep.
You don't think that they're going to want a young quarterback to take
his place?
Not
this year.
Maybe not this year, but you could still draft the young quarterback and have that young quarterback in place.
Not in the top 10. I don't think so.
Yep, I'm just telling you. So the question will be, is somebody going to be impressed enough with Haskins to go up in front of the number 6 Giants to go and get him? I think there will be, yes.
I'm still going with the fact that they're not going to pick a quarterback. That's what I'm going with. Because Dave Gettleman.
Let me just tell you something. In 2 years from now, somebody else will be coaching and picking the new quarterback. I'm just telling you that right now.
I think they should. I can't do it again like I did last year, right? We were screaming and yelling about it, and we were on that side. And, yeah, Saquon Barkley had a great season, but I don't know how many months we sat here and talked about them taking a quarterback, and they didn't do it. I'm just now preparing myself that they're not going to do it this year, especially when our own WFAN Giants beat reporter Paul DeTino calls us up and says, absolutely not. They're not taking a quarterback in the first round, and it's because Dave Gettleman doesn't like these quarterbacks just like he didn't like last year's quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm just telling you right now, I honestly believe that if they don't get a quarterback this year of some significance to, I think, kind of enlighten or energize the Giant fan base for future years, somebody else will be picking the next quarterback
of
the Giants.
But you know that John Mara.
And somebody else will be coaching the next quarterback of the Giants.
Well, maybe. But you know John Mara would be on board. If the Giants didn't take a quarterback again, you know that he'd be on board with that. There's no way that he wouldn't be.
And even talking to I'll tell you about people that I talked to that were at the Combine that did come away favorably with some quarterbacks. And all three quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, and this kid, Daniel Jones from Duke, all impressed everybody, at least the people that I just spoke to yesterday. Every single one of those guys did not do anything to take away from their lofty draft status, meaning that they're going to be first-round quarterbacks. Now, they didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, Kyler Murray just showed up and did some interviews and showed that he was 5'10 and 207 pounds.
Well, that 5'10", by the way, is now in question by an unnamed scout that said, I think his height was inflated.
Yeah.
How can you inflate height when you're measured?
Believe me, everybody would be in there looking at that and wanting to know what the answer was.
And then this guy says, well, his pro day, if he doesn't get measured at his pro day, that'll be very telling.
And he has big enough hands. I think your man Dwayne Haskins has 10-inch hands.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You think or you know?
I'm pretty sure he has 10-inch hands.
Well, didn't they measure his hands?
They did, and I also think that Daniel Jones has more than his hands are big. I know how
massive
you're a big
hands
guy.
No, you're a big hands guy.
No, you're a big hands guy.
You made this whole thing about hands last year about Sam Darnold. Don't even start.
By the way, how
you.
Did Sam Darnold's hands show up last year? Were they fine?
Yeah, it seemed to be okay.
It seemed to be all right. Okay. I mean, how about Josh Allen's hands? Were they good?
Yeah, they seemed fine. His legs were better at Josh Allen. Dwayne Haskins' hands.
Yeah, I think they were 10 inches.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
And that's a very large hand.
Yeah. So he was almost 6'4", 230 pounds with 10-inch hands.
Large koala bear hands.
Yeah.
Seems like it was 9 5/8
Yeah, that's
inches.
Almost 10-inch hands. You know, come on. But what are we doing here?
I'm giving you the exact numbers.
All right. That's a good size hand.
See, I mean, but the problem is if you were not as in on Dwayne Haskins, you'd be saying, no, these are 9-inch hands. Because you like Dwayne Haskins, it's almost 10-inch chance.
That's what I'm saying. I'm all in on Dwayne Haskins. How many times do I have to say that?
I know. I've heard it plenty of times.
I'm all in on Kyler Murray, too, man.
Get him. I don't know about that.
I want the Cardinals.
I feel like you're on the Casserly side of things.
No, I'm not. I want the Cardinals to take him.
Okay.
I think that would be great.
Where should Josh Rosen get?
Josh Rosen either goes to Miami, Washington, Jacksonville, if they're talking about it, first of all, a third-round draft pick's not enough.
You know, I was thinking about Josh Rosen. Now, last year, he was in the same group as these other guys. Now, obviously, he fell, but we were talking about him like Baker Mayfield, like Sam Darnold, like Josh Allen. So if you were to tell me, now let's say the Giants traded for Josh Rosen and got him. If you were to tell me that last year in the draft, the Giants got both Saquon Barkley and Josh Rosen, you know how celebrated they'd be?
They would be.
And they may have that opportunity here.
They could.
Now.
They could.
Now, I know they're going to have to give up something to get it, obviously.
Yeah, but it may be their second-round pick.
But think about that.
The question is, are the Cardinals, is somebody going to overpay for Josh Rosen?
I don't think so. I think it's a buy-low opportunity.
That's what I think. But somebody's going to have to, I would think, give at least a second-round pick.
Yeah, which is fine.
I keep reading third round pick.
He was, 13th or 11th last year?
10th.
He was 10th? So,
yes.
I mean.
I'm like, what? The third round pick is ridiculous.
Well.
A second round pick, I'll do it today.
Well, if the Cardinals end up signing, because they could prior to the draft,
they better sign Kyler Murray,
then all of a sudden the leverage is gone. That's why you're not going to get a first-round pick for Josh Rosen.
And remember, in the NFL, if you have the first overall pick in the draft, you can sign that person to a contract.
So when they sign him, every team's going to say, well, you can't have both these guys on the roster at the same time.
Right.
So
but I think if you're Steve Kine, I think his name's Steven. Steve Kine, general manager of the Cardinals, you better make sure you have Kyler Murray under contract before that agent starts playing baseball against you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's just something that you want to make sure that you have solidly, you know, down. Hey, look, he's a rookie. He's the number one overall pick. He's going to sign a big contract. You just make sure you got it signed, and then you can trade Josh Rosen. I don't know if you trade Josh Rosen first before you sign Kyler Murray. I don't know. That's the weird thing about this.
Yeah, I think that Cliff Kingsbury is going to push for that hard. I think he's going to get it. And I think that Josh Rosen is going to get traded. And I think the Giants should be in on it, and they won't be. They won't be in on that, and they won't be in on Dwayne Haskins.
Yes, they will be. Dwayne Haskins is a perfect Giant quarterback. Perfect.
I know he is. You don't need to sell it on me anymore. I'm telling you, so was all these other guys last year.
I thought Sam Darnold was the perfect Giant quarterback.
And what happened there?
Well, they went with Saquon Barkley, who validated the reason why they
drafted an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. They're going to draft an edge guy, or they're going to draft an offensive lineman with that first pick. I'm telling you right now, that's what they're doing.
With the sixth overall pick, they'll be out of, like, the super stud player. Maybe they get Greedy Williams. Maybe they get the cornerback. You know, is Rashad Gary, who also is a local product out of Michigan, University of Michigan. Is he a guy that they admire? Remember, he likes hog mollies, right?
Yeah, but this is why. This is what I'm saying. Doesn't like any of these quarterbacks. Like,
well,
these hog mollies.
I'm going to tell you right now, Dwayne Haskins is a hog molly of a quarterback. That's what I will tell you.
Not in Mr. Tape's size. Mr. Dave Gettleman watched the tape. He saw that tape, didn't like Dwayne Haskins.
Okay.
That's what I think happened.
All right.
I mean, Paul DeTino is probably sitting there watching tape with him.
He probably is. He's
probably sitting next to Gettleman watching tape together. He's like, I'm not drafting this guy.
So they'll be tanking for Tua or be or the kid from Clemson or Justin Herbert from Oregon. Is they're still going to wait another year?
Can't wait for more Pat Shurmur press conference after a 6-game losing streak next year.
God. You know, because right now, you know, they're trying to get better. They're trying to rebuild the defense, I guess. That's what it seems like, it, especially when they're talking about trading. See, the other thing, too, there is this whole thing about Olivier Vernon being on the trading block. Well, if he's on the trading block now it all of a sudden kind of decreases what they can get back for him. You know, because he's going to be paid a lot of money.
Well, they're going to cut him, I would imagine, if they can't get a trade. He's gone, right?
So everybody knows that they want to get rid of him.
Man. I don't know. The more I talk about the Giants, I feel like they're in a mess. Are they in a mess or are they not in a mess? Because I feel like they're in a mess. Every time we go through everything that's going on with them, I come out of it feeling like they're in a mess.
You know, after they signed Nate Solder, they drafted Saquon Barkley, I figured, man, this is going to be a good team. This is going to be really, you know,
and they were horrific. Patrick,
and it just never happened for him. It just never got going for him.
Oh, I can't wait for Monday, because Monday we'll start to get some news finally in free agency. It's going to be awesome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.